The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Tuesday edition of the Leach Report, and glad you guys are with us as we are just a couple of days from the Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully everybody's gearing up for a fun holiday. Our show's always served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We will chat today with Larry Vaught, Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader, former Kentucky wide receiver Charles Walker, and I think we'll have time to work in a post-game interview with Andy Kennedy, former Ole Miss coach who worked the Kentucky VMI game on Sunday. That's our guest lineup, presented each day by Sleep Outfitters and their big Black Friday sales getting underway this week. All right, let's get to the Wildcat news of the day, and that's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Yesterday was Mark Stoops' media day, as he talked to the media and then did the radio show. Cal did his first radio show last night. Stoops talked about his team played with urgency last week against Middle Tennessee. It was one of the main things he was looking for after the performance at Tennessee. Said he felt better about the defense's performance after he watched the tape. And Middle Tennessee threw a lot at them, different some crazy looks and plays that kind of emptied the playbook trying to go for the upset. He didn't say this. This is me, but that Louisville, I don't think, is in a position to do that because Middle Tennessee had a sixth-year senior quarterback. You get that kind of experience, you can do a lot of different things as opposed to an inexperienced QB. And speaking of the U of L QB, Lorenzo Ward, their interim coach, no decision on the starting QB yet for this week. Malik Cunningham started the last game, I think injured his hand on in the fourth quarter on Saturday, but supposedly is good to go, so the word is. Cal, on the radio show last night, a couple of things. He reemphasized the importance of Nick Richards. They're really looking for some shot-blocking presence from Nick and or E.J. Montgomery. And speaking of the big guys, Calipari said they still have an issue with too many turnovers. I think it's 9 assists to 31 turnovers for the four bigs. He said they've got to make the easy play instead of trying to make the difficult play. On the subject of Kentucky basketball, James Wiseman set to announce his college choice today. The consensus is Memphis, unfortunately. John Hale of the CJ writes about Kentucky's slim chance of getting into the New Year's Six, but there is a way it could happen. And if you're looking for kind of a cheer chart for this weekend, Kentucky would need Washington to lose to Washington State, and they'd need 3 losses from among West Virginia, Florida, Penn State, and Texas. Now, West Virginia plays Oklahoma on Friday night in Morgantown, but certainly could lose that one. And then Texas plays Kansas, unlikely to lose, but could, if Texas wins and Oklahoma wins, Oklahoma and Texas would play in the Big 12 championship game, so Texas could take another loss there. So there could be 2 if Oklahoma comes through. And then you'd need either Penn State to lose to Maryland or Florida to lose to Florida State. And if all of those things happen, or at least 3 of the 4 on that one side of the ledger, then it could be possible, assuming Kentucky got the win at Louisville. So, a lot of things, but I always remember back to 07 when LSU lost on the last day of the regular season and still ended up winning the national championship. So, some crazy things can happen. Josh Pascal, named co-defensive player of the week in the by the SEC. I thought that was a cool move for coming back from cancer and getting back on the field, making a tackle on Saturday. Former Kentucky baseball pitcher James Paxton, traded from Seattle to the Yankees. Good move for him. Links to the stories that we talk about on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. When we come back, we'll check in with Larry Vaught from VaughtsHughes.com. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
14 after the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. To the Kentucky branded hotline we go to bring on Larry Vaught. You can read him at VaughtsViews.com, also LEX18.com. And Larry, if they go to VaughtsViews.com, the story that's right at the top that they'll see is about Wandale Robinson, future Wildcat, winning the Paul Horning Award from the Louisville Quarterback Club.
Yeah, it was just announced today. I think Wandale's certainly a very deserving winner in what was a year in Kentucky that had a lot of really good senior high school football players, very highly ranked. And for him to win this award, I think just again kind of verifies the kind of season that he had. He finished his career with over 800 points scored, on the second high school player in Kentucky to do that. Had a sensational senior season, been invited to the All-American Bowl, now ranked among one of the top 125 players in the nation. And the best thing for Kentucky fans, he's coming to Kentucky.
Yeah, and a Lynn Bowden, I guess, type of player, right? Maybe a little more in the backfield?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty similar. I mean, he's played some receiver. He's played running back. He's played a little bit of quarterback. I think maybe one difference with Wandale over Lynn is I think that Wandale has really worked on his route running a lot the last couple of years, not just with his own football coach, but he's gone out and had some special training with a director up in Louisville that's really worked on the same guy that worked with Rondale Moore for a couple of years. It's worked out pretty well for him at Purdue. So I think you'll see Wandale come in as a little bit or quite a bit better route runner right off than what Lynn Bowden was, because Wandale has just played more of a receiver.
Yeah, Lynn has really improved a lot in that this year, but that was an issue for him last year. He, in the picture at VaughtsViews.com, he's got a picture of him, I guess, on a recruiting visit with Coach Stoops, and he's wearing number one, which is Lynn's number, so he won't be number one. And I was thinking, well, could he be number three, be Craig East? No, that's Terry Wilson. So I thought, make him number two, since Dorian Baker's leaving, and it could be like the Cat in the Hat, thing one and thing two.
I like your thinking, Tom. That's pretty good, man.
Well, come up with a better name than Thing, maybe. But you have two guys that are similar, and then probably a running back by committee. So it could be a little interesting attack that they could develop offensively, I think.
Yeah, and the interesting, I mean, I don't know how it would work out, but, I mean, Wandale threw a few passes this year and was pretty accurate when he has thrown the ball. It's just, it's hard to have him throwing the ball. You'd rather him be out there catching the ball or running the ball. But I could see, you know, there's a lot of options, kind of like what I thought there might be with Lynn. You could work some trick plays or some different things in there. But the thing I think that you'll really like when you see him, he just plays so hard, and he's just such a good young man. I mean, anybody that you talk to that plays with him or plays against him has nothing but good things to say about him. And I think that's the one thing that has kind of jumped out at me, whether you're talking to Bo Allen, the quarterback at Lexington Catholic, or whether you're talking to Dennis Johnson, the coach at Woodford County, or Chuck Smith, the coach at Boyle County. They all just talk about not only what a great player he is, but what a terrific person that he is. And I think Kentucky fans are, if you hadn't had a chance to be around him, you're going to love having a chance to be around this young man. I think Mark Stoops is really, really fortunate to be getting him.
No, there's been frustration, understandable, from Kentucky fans with the offensive struggles in the second half of the season. But I was making a point to somebody, I think it was yesterday or last week, about look back at 2 years ago when Kentucky won games 41-38, 40-38 over Louisville and Mississippi State. So as Cal often says, all these coaches are about winning first and foremost. And if the defense isn't quite to this level and you have a little more experienced quarterback, I think you will see them, Mark Stoops is always going to be on the conservative side of the spectrum, as coach, his defensive background. He's not going to be an air raid guy, but I think they can loosen the reins in moving forward with some more experience on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I would hope so. And of course, you look back to the second year that my buddy Neil Brown was the offensive coordinator there, and Kentucky scored more points, but they only won five games. And I think Neil would probably have taken a 9-win season, or maybe a 10-win season, hopefully, over and a few less points, and he'd have been okay with that because, as you say, coaches do like to win, and you coach the way that you think is going to let you win. And if you think Mark Stoops is ever going to win games 58 to 45, that's just not going to happen. But, again, you're 8-3. How you get there really doesn't matter because 10 years from now you don't talk about the points you average. You talk about the games that you won. And to be 8-3 and within one win of locking up a bid to the Citrus Bowl, I think that's pretty impressive. I think you and I both thought an 8-win season was possible, and I mean I think we even talked about it might be likely. So I'm not sure we're stunned, but again, 9 wins, maybe go to the Citrus Bowl and get a 10th win. What a season that would be!
Absolutely. Did you see things that you were encouraged by coming off the Tennessee performance in the game last week against Middle, or still some concerns? What did you walk away with?
I think you have to be concerned a little bit that the defense still gave up so many yards. I mean, that's something that kind of still worries me a little bit. I know Tony Franklin really came up with some creative things to use against Kentucky. I know you get up to the big lead, and sometimes that changes the way that you play. And that worried me, or still concerns me just a little bit. But I still think now when you end this game with the emotion of the Louisville game and what happened last year, I think things get back on track pretty solid on defense. I got defense will play with even more intensity again this week. So I feel pretty good. I was glad to see Benny Snell have a big first quarter running the football. And I think if Kentucky just goes and handles things, as Mark says, the way that it should, don't worry about what Louisville's going to do or not do. Just go play Kentucky football, then I think they're going to be fine Saturday.
There was some discussion about the fan turnout for this game. As listening and reading some of the discussion, I came to the feeling, and I'll see what your take is, that I think this day and time is not just here. This is everywhere, I think, with college sports, with prices and the options to stay at home, how good that experience can be, that your turnout is affected usually primarily by three things: who you play, when you play, and what's the weather. And only the third one was favorable for Kentucky last Saturday, and it wasn't great, great, but it was decent. Yeah. But the time was early, and it's a non-conference opponent, and it's I think you're probably always gonna probably not get the turnout you would hope in that situation for those reasons.
No, I think that's no disrespect to the players.
Right.
I think you probably
exactly.
Had a lot of people that weren't there that were certainly watching and are certainly as loyal of fans as you could want. And I think if Senior Day was this Saturday against Louisville, you could play it at 9 o'clock in the morning and you'd have a whole lot more fans at Kroger Field to watch the game this week. It's just kind of the way that it turned out. In fact, I think they're going to have a huge Kentucky turnout at Louisville for the game this Saturday. They may have almost as many Kentucky fans in Louisville as what there were in Kroger Field this week, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see that.
No, I think that should be a big turnout. The only thing that hurts is the weather. It's looking the rain chance is getting greater and greater, so that might hurt a little bit. But that's for both sides, not just the Kentucky fans. The Kentucky fans in expecting victory might brave that storm better than the other side.
Yeah, I can remember when I watched my son play Tom when it was rainy or nasty or something. It never seemed quite as bad as if the team you wanted to win wins.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Quick thought on basketball. You ever see anything like Bubba Parham the other night?
Well, we've seen a couple of pretty good shooting performances, and I do remember that when Jody Meeks went off down at Tennessee, but for a kid that you really didn't expect to have anything like that, I mean, it was pretty incredible, and I got to admit it was fun to watch. And probably my best memory of that will be when he hit that 1-3 when he just kind of falling down, and he's going back down the court. Him and Quaddy Green are just kind of laughing with each other about that he made the shot. And Bubba was talking about after the game that Quaddy told him, he said, "Man, when you shot that one, I didn't think there wasn't any way it was going in. Then you made it."
Yeah.
And I think that's all you got to do, to shake your head and admiring, because it was quite a performance.
I said to Cal last night on the show, I said, I'm guessing that. This guy just hit some incredible shots is not an excuse that's going to fly with you. And he said no, and he ticked off some things about guys coming down with their hands down and et cetera. But I suspect, in a moment when he's not motivating his team to play better defense, he would say, "Man, those were a couple of those shots were, that was incredible."
Yeah, I think right after the game, he was a little, he wasn't quite probably as critical of his team as what he was with you last night. He seemed a little more enamored with what Bubba had done. And I actually went back out and talked to Bubba's mother, and then his high school coach also happened to be there at the game. And as high school coach said, that Bubba could shoot a lot better than what people have seen and think that he can. But his mom, she was just thrilled, said that he'd never done anything like that and probably never would again. But boy, she loved every minute of it, and it completely lost her voice. She'd been yelling so much during the game. But it was kind of one of those fun things. And again, Kentucky's got to play better than what it has been, but it's still early, and I don't think there's any reason to totally panic yet. But they've got to get a little bit better defensively, and I think John thought they would be better defensively even now than what they are. But they've still got the pieces. It's just a matter still of him putting them together the right way.
Larry, thank you much. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Tom, you too.
Be right back with more on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Here from Andy Kennedy, who did the SEC Network coverage with Tom Hart after Kentucky beat BMI on Sunday.
Ever seen a shooting exhibition like you saw tonight?
Incredible, wasn't it? I mean, you got to give BMI credit. We talked to Coach Earl in the shoot-around, and they executed their game plan to perfection. It obviously helps when you make 19 three-pointers, and a young man, Bubba Parham, with a career night, makes 10. They set a Rupp Arena record, so I give Kentucky credit for staying the course, doing what they do, overpowering them inside, getting a victory, which really at this time of the season is about winning, learning, moving forward.
Did Marshall Henderson ever do it on your watch?
Yeah, he did. He had 39 one night. He might have had 10 threes as well. Yeah, you know, Marshall, the best team that I had was 12-13. We won 27 games, won the SEC tournament, advanced to the NCAA tournament. And he set the NCAA record for most threes attempted by one player. He still holds that. So I've seen a lot of volume shooting in my time.
When a team makes 19 threes, the other team has to take ownership in their defense. What did you think about Kentucky's team?
You know, their biggest issue early in the season is being able to control dribble penetration. The actions that BMI was running, a lot of dribble handoff stuff. There were times there was some confusion in that exchange. And then there were simply, Bubba Parham made some really difficult shots. Some Steph Curry-like shots, stepping back from 30 feet. You know, sometimes you just got to tip your hat to that kid and say, man, that was a great night.
What's the focal point for Coach Cal here in the next remaining games before the conference starts?
I think a couple of things. It starts with what I just alluded to. Dribble penetration, which will keep you out of multiple defensive rotations where things can break down. He's aware of that. Play through the strength of your team, which in my opinion is his front court, where just get the ball on that backboard and you have a chance to get second, third chance opportunities. And I thought Quade Green really stepped up down the stretch tonight in a pressure situation, a two-possession game, made a couple of big threes, a couple of big free throws. They need somebody on that perimeter to step up and be able to knock in big shots. He did that tonight.
Do you play through P.J. and Reed, though, the strength of this team?
You know what? I think P.J.'s a guy that if he's not an all-league player for this team at the end of the year, Big Blue's not going to like where Kentucky's sitting. I think everybody knows that. Reed is a terrific player, and he's produced at a high level prior to coming here. But this is new to him, and so it's going to take a little bit of a transition. I thought tonight he had a pretty pedestrian 22 and 7 or 8. He's a very efficient scorer. You get him and P.J., and I thought the yin and the yang of them on the court tonight.
That was Andy Kennedy after the game. Some good stuff. We'll get him on the show one of these days soon. We'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Second half of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Dennis writes in, if Kentucky goes to the Citrus Bowl, who would they most likely be playing? Most of the projections say Northwestern at this point. Jen Smith joins us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. And you had a chance to tell some really good stories about this Kentucky football team, and particularly the senior class. I got to think one of your faves is Josh Allen. And then he goes out, on senior day, last guy brought out, sits down there on the turf holding his little boy, and then goes out and plays one of the best games he's ever had, breaks records, makes the play that decides the game, one of the deciding plays with that sack on 4th-and-1. So if you turn that script in, the Hallmark Channel's the only one going to buy that, right?
that might be true. I hadn't really thought about it that way. You know, I wrote that the story about after the spring. Like, I really wanted to write a story about him and find out more about him. And I sat down. He sat down with me for like an hour one day, and we just sort of discussed his life. And there's so many interesting twists and turns to it. You know, that sort of make you appreciate, you know, kind of how life happens for a reason and everything happens for a reason. And, you know, Josh is just one of those stories. To grow up having ADHD and wanting to really, you know, he was put in these special needs classes at his grade school and his junior high school, and hated that he wasn't out in the hallways with the real population, or the whatever he called the student group that wasn't in his special classes. And the only way for him to get out of that was to move to another state. If he hadn't moved to Alabama to live with his aunt and uncle for a couple of years, he never would have gotten tough enough to play college football, he says. You know, I mean, there are just so many little parts of his life that have sort of shaped his story. And, you know, I think that senior day story, the one that you just told, is just one of the next, you know, as he put it, chapters of things that have happened, you know, specifically how they're supposed to happen. But, you know, and you hope for a happy ending for a kid like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And couldn't be nicer to work with. It's easy to root for a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not supposed to have rooting interests in my position, but he's one of those exceptions that you make just because he's just such a nice kid. You know, a lot of, by this time of year, the media is sick of the players are sick of the media, and we sort of go, you know, begrudgingly go back and forth, I think, by this time of the year, but Josh always comes to media every time he's requested. He always has a smile on his face. He's just one of those super nice kids that you really do root for.
Let's talk a little bit about this game on Saturday as Kentucky closes out the regular season at Louisville. And I sense there's just a little anxiety among Kentucky fans because, you know, well, some of it's just the scar tissue that's always there for Kentucky football fans. But it's you know, a game that where the other team is going to be a, you know, massive underdog, and yet they're not as big an underdog as Kentucky was 2 years ago.
No, and I think that's sort of the message, listening to your radio show last night with Stoops and listening to him talk to us yesterday. I think that's going to be the really obvious message for him to put forward, that, you know, we don't do so well when we're the team that's supposed to win. You know, we play better when we're kind of Benny Snell-esque with a chip on our shoulder all the time and, you know, sort of angry running, angry tackling, angry, you know, everything, feeling like we're misunderstood and, you know, placed below other people. So, you know, I look at a game like Tennessee where they're, you know, on paper they should have won that game. On paper they should have been a dominant team in that game. And then, you know, they maybe felt pretty good about themselves going into that game, and things didn't go quite as well as they wanted them to. So I think you only need to look to two games ago to realize, you know, that could be a problem if Kentucky goes on the road to a place where they're not well-liked, to a place where the team they're playing feels a little bit disrespected, and then, you know, they're favorites in that game, and then, you know, things sort of come undone. So, you know, I think Stoops will probably push in that Tennessee tape, and he'll also push in the tape where Kentucky was sort of able to start this whole process. I mean, that game 2 years ago where Kentucky got bowl eligible, it really started this sort of, you know, big climb for Kentucky since then, as far as players and recruiting. And, you know, that was a big game. So Kentucky needs to remember that, I think, as they go through the week.
I think of a Calipari line in this discussion where he, you know, talks about one of his patented phrases about they're not computers. And that's why I wasn't shocked at what happened at Tennessee when a team, group of players that's not used to being in positions like they were in against Georgia, that you don't immediately come back from that with an A effort. And yet that's part of what they've got to learn from that experience moving forward as they grow the program, because if you do what they aspire to do, you're going to be in that position more than once, and you're going to be the hunted more often, and you got to learn how to manage that mindset and deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely the case. And they, you know, this senior group has done such a good job of managing, you know, managing the team, of sort of crushing people when they need to be crushed, sort of getting people where they need to be when they need to be there. they're just, you know, the veteran leadership from some of their top players is, I think, the most important thing about this team. And I, just talking to their top players, the CJ Conrads, the Benny Snells, the Josh Allens, the Mike Edwards, you know, just talking to those guys after the Tennessee game and seeing sort of the hurt in the you know, Derek Beatty, the cornerback, the senior quarterback, described it as a three-hour bus ride of silence back from Knoxville. You know, so I think that sort of stuck with them. I think they really learned a lesson in Knoxville. And, you know, I also sort of go back to what Mitch Barnhart was talking to yesterday with the media before Mark Stoops went on, just about sort of the emotional escalation of this season. I mean, they've had a coach with cancer that's been battling all season. They've had Josh Pascal, who just beat his battle with cancer and got back on the field. Marco Shemwell passed away. You know, he was connected to the team in that way. There have just been all of these sort of emotional roller coaster moments for this team. And you kind of had to wonder when it was going to hit, you know, like that it was all kind of crushed down on them. And after the Georgia game, I could see how that happened with Tennessee. I can see how Kentucky just sort of, you know, took a deep breath and couldn't get it back going again. And I think that, you know, they maybe have been able to do that a little bit more. I think the Middle Tennessee game helped. I think being in a close game with Middle Tennessee helped because it maybe helped get their confidence back that they can win games and still be a dominant team at times when they need to be.
It's an interesting perspective on it. What about Terry Wilson? See anything there that was encouraging, noteworthy in his performance last week?
When I was listening to your coach's show last night, and Stoops was talking about the deep balls with Terry, the missed opportunities. You know, one he badly overthrew. There were a couple where there was sort of bad protection. But then I sort of watched that pass to CJ Conrad, the touchdown pass. And while at the time, I think a lot of fans were probably going, no, because they saw that he was in double and triple coverage. I think that showed me that he's getting a little bit more confidence going forward. And I also sort of go back to that Steven Johnson in that Louisville game 2 years ago. That was his first season. It took him a bunch of games to sort of get it all figured out and get it going. In that Louisville game, you really saw what he could do. And I think Terry has a similar skill set. I think he has a similar demeanor. And he's one of those guys that it makes me wonder by the time we get to this game and then to the bowl game, if we're going to see like a much more confident, much more, you know, kind of aggressive Terry Wilson coming out instead of a guy who's worried about turning the ball over or who's too focused on what could happen instead of just playing the game. So, you know, I'm sort of curious if he's able to come out and kind of pull a Steven Johnson in this Louisville game like Steven did 2 years ago.
Well, Jen, thanks for the time. It's at Jen Harold Leader on Twitter, KentuckySports.com on the web, and happy Thanksgiving to you and the family.
You too. See you Saturday.
We'll be right back at 17 away from the top of the hour. Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And coming up, former Wildcat wideout Charles Walker.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Incredible NFL game last night as the Rams beat the Chiefs 54-51. Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes in a QB shootout. And Mike Fields from the Kentucky High School Athletic Association tweeting out that it reminded him of the 2002 state finals when Trinity beat Mayo 59-56 in the state championship game, and Brian Brohm and Michael Bush had a similar shootout. Seems like a pretty good comparison. Coming up right now, we go back to the Kentucky Branded Hotline, bring on Charles Walker, who was a Louisville high school football player at St. X, and so I'm sure had the fire stoked a little more every time Kentucky lined up against Louisville on the gridiron. So you know what the Kentucky guys in particular are feeling like as they prepare for this game this week, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. I'd like to think of it as best of both worlds, you know, being from Louisville, playing for Kentucky.
That's right. This is a game with an unusual circumstance. Kentucky won, as I mentioned in the last segment. It was a bigger underdog 2 years ago and won. But Kentucky had been playing well down the stretch. It's just that Louisville had the Heisman Trophy favorite and was having an incredible season of their own and ended up as, a 27 or 8-point favorite, whereas here you've got Louisville really struggling. What's your take on the matchup and the mindset Kentucky needs to take into it?
You know, my take is that it's a rivalry game. And as you said, we were a bigger underdog 2 years ago. And in these games, if you keep it close, and they're at home, if you keep it close in the fourth quarter, you want to think that that home team is going to come home with the victory. I think the key is for us to get up early and send those guys packing.
Yeah, I saw a stat yesterday. I was looking at some Louisville notes. They've been outscored, I think it's 119-40 in the first quarters of games this season. And I think when a team is struggling, as the Cardinals have, that, you know, it's, to use a Calipari phrase, it's easier to let go of the rope when you get off to a bad start, especially if it's rainy and a little cold like it figures to be.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with that. You look at what happened last week. If our defense can come up with, this is asking a lot, but a pick six and then a fumble to set our offense up for another score, go up 14-0 quick, I don't think there's any coming back from that. I know that is a lot to ask from Mike Edwards and the defense, but.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what UofL does with Josh Allen, because they've given up 41 sacks this season, and I don't know what the next marks are for Josh in terms of records. He's gotten everything at Kentucky, but in terms of like SEC records, maybe for sacks in a season or a career or something. But you know, you would think he would have a shot to get one or two at least against Louisville, given the stats.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's something to look out for. And I think Benny needs 207 more yards to pass all time at UK. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So that's something for the offense to look at as well. You know, their Louisville's rush defense is definitely not the best in the nation. So looking forward to see how Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw handle that.
The offense has had some issues really since the end of September. Did you see anything last week that gave you encouragement or was a different look that you hadn't seen before?
You know, I think the quarterback play, definitely on that one touchdown where Terry almost went across his body, shows that he was ready to, I forget the term Stoops used, but almost let it fling. And that's the kind of player that you need in a quarterback like him who's agile, and he doesn't need to be nervous back there. I thought Grant and Henshaw did a good job of getting him out of the pocket on some of those rollout passes, too. You know, that big one to Riggs that went for, you know, 35 yards. I think plays like that are what Terry needs to build up his confidence.
Yeah, he still is. I think they're better things like that, rolling him, getting him out of the pocket when they can, because he's still, this should come with time, but he's still not completely comfortable, as the coaches say, playing in that phone booth in a pocket sometimes.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think some of that goes on, you know, playing that JUCO ball where, you know, sometimes the old lineman, there's a weak link and you have defenders in your face quick. So he likes to get out and be able to see all the defenders rather than feel the defenders right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it's a process really for a quarterback to learn that, because it's subtle stuff. It's, you know, maybe a, you know, a step, a half step, left, right, up, back, right?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, like you said, up, down. Sometimes you just move up in the pocket and be ready to throw it. I just don't think he trusts that just yet, and that goes back to what I was saying. If you get him out and you can let him see all the defenders coming at him, because, you know, he's fast enough to where a DN coming off the edge probably isn't going to catch him. I think he knows that, and he's not afraid to tuck it and run. He likes to get out of the pocket and sling it. And, you know, they did that. They did that with the Zaire deep ball that if maybe Zaire, you know, kept his head down and ran two or three more yards before looking up, could have been a big play.
Yeah, I keep waiting for them to hit one to him. They took a couple of shots, and they've tried throwing it deep to Epps, to Ali, to Baker, to Hughes. And what do they need to do? What are you seeing that they need to do differently or better to hit some of those deep shots?
I think at the end of the day, Coach Henshaw calls it putting it on his head. Not necessarily trying to throw that perfect ball, but just throwing a ball to where, you know, your guy can go up for it. Like with Zaire, that one was kind of different. You know, there were two or three guys around him, and it almost was a perfect ball. But when they have these one-on-one coverages outside, Middle Tennessee State did it a lot. We didn't necessarily try to pick at that. I know we like to run the ball, and this week I think we are going to be able to run the ball very efficiently. But I think you need to take shots. You know, the only way to get good at it is if you practice it, and there's no practice like a game.
Yeah, I mean, your all's team 2 years ago, especially and most notably in that Louisville game, those deep shots started the game with one to Juice Johnson. That creates a lot of space for the running backs, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. If you can spread that defense out and get them going, you know, Benny doesn't need too many yards to, like I say, get that engine running. You know, he's a power machine, and if he can get 4 yards each carry, that's kind of his game because he'll bust one of those for 20.
When they come off the loss to Tennessee, they get back on track with a win last week. Does that take the burden off? I'm sure they kind of were feeling the weight of the world on their shoulders after the Tennessee performance.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think either way you put it, they know what happens in these games. They know that Louisville is what they have 2 wins, so they're going to kind of come out and I bet try to scare us, try to start something before the game, get under our skins. I think Stoops right now is telling them to play our game because that's what he would always tell us. You know, you don't come in and play down to your opponent or up to your opponent. You play your game, and the best team will win. Obviously, right now our record shows that on paper we are the better team. So you go in, keep your composure, do what we do, play good defense, run the ball efficiently. I think that spread, 17.5 or 17, will be broken.
Charles, I appreciate the time. Have a good Thanksgiving for you and your family.
Absolutely. You too. Thanks, Tom.
It's Charles Walker, former Wildcat wideout, number 88. We're heading to a break, and we'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington in just a moment.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
I know a lot of you enjoy a good cup of coffee after dinner, and so Thanksgiving's coming up this weekend, and you'll be kicking back after that great meal. And let me encourage you, when you're getting your Thanksgiving shopping done, to pick up some Shuffle Bean coffee at your Kroger store or wherever you shop, and give it a try, and I think you'll be going back for more. It's the official coffee of Rupp Arena and the KFC Yum Center, and it's a locally owned and operated company that is all about quality. Go to shufflebean.us. You can find locations. If you don't see it where you shop, ask for it. You can order through Amazon Prime, too. And there's a Shuffle Bean Coffee Cafe and the Jamba Juice over there on the UK campus on South Upper Street. All right, we are getting to our Donato slice of Wildcat history. It was this day in 1976 that Kentucky went down to Knoxville and beat Tennessee 7-0 to clinch a seventh victory. And that would be enough to earn Kentucky its first bowl bid in 25 years. They went to the Peach Bowl, beat North Carolina 21-0, set the stage for the 10-1 season the next year. Birthdays, our buddy Jeremy Jarman on the pregame show with Dusty Bonner and Christy Thomas. Jeremy celebrates a birthday today. And Louis Dampier, one of the all-time great shooters in Kentucky basketball history. So see either one of those guys today. Wish him a happy birthday. It's going to do it for us. Tomorrow I'm out prepping for the game. Early start tomorrow, 1 o'clock. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and we'll see you later on here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show, and be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com.